Okay, we're going to begin at the bottom of Chav Gimel Amud Bet. Gemara is discussing the last line in the Mishnah now, which was that Reb Shimon Elazar Omer, Kol Kli Anforia in Chayav Lachriz. Gemara asked the obvious question, Ma Anforia? What is this Anforia? Because it's undefined in the Mishnah. Tam Yehuda Mishmo, Kelim Chadashim, Shlos Avatana Ayin. These are new utensils, new objects that a person has purchased or acquired, but he hasn't had time for it to sink in yet. That he has doesn't become so familiar with the item. It's so new that he doesn't have familiarity with the item. Rashi says that Amporia is a Lashon Notrikun Ein Po Raya, or Ein Po Raya, that you're unable to make the clear identification of the object because it's so new. Sumar says, Hey Chidami, what's the case? Iit Behu Siman, if it has a Siman, a clearly defined Siman in it, Kilo Sabatana Ayin Mahavi. Alright, so fine that he hasn't really gotten used to it, but if it's such an obvious siman, it's something that is outstanding or visible, then he would know about it, even if he hasn't sabata ayin. Eat label siman, if there is no siman here, ki sabata ayin my hobby. Even if he has spent a lot of time with the object, it's not going to help over here because there is no siman to be found anyway, even if he spends time with it. Smart says, olam, the label who siman. It's a case where there is no siman over here, but nafkamina. The case over here, or the issue over here, is Ladure Lutsuba Mitrabanan Bitviutad Eina. That whether we can return it to a young Talmud, or to a Talmud Chacham, a young Talmud Chacham, with just simply identifying the object or saying, that is my object. Savatan Ayin, if he's had enough time, if he spent sufficient time with the object, Kimle Begavayu, then we know that he's familiar enough with the object, that a Mahadrinanle will give it back to him. If he says, that's my shirt, that's my talus, and we'll say, okay, he spent enough time with it that he knows that that's the case. Kilo savatanayin, if he hasn't, if it's so new that he really hasn't spent time with him, we're saying, okim lebe gavayav lo medrinim le, then it's certain that he doesn't have enough familiarity with the item that we simply say, if he says, that's my object, we don't necessarily believe him. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Meshmua, this is very important Gemara over here. Bahane tlat mile avide rabbanon demishanu b'milayu. But these three issues, the Rabbanon can change their words, or can, or should change their words. What is that? Masechet, Upuria, Ubishbiza. By these three items, a person is allowed to, or not a person, but a Talmud Chacham is allowed to change his words. What are these items? So we're going to look at Rashi's interpretation. Masechet. Right? Masechet is the question, Yesh biyadcha Masechet ploni stura b'girsa, or lo? Do you know this Masechet? Do you know it well? Do you know this Masechet? Right? Even though he knows it well, Yomar lo lach, he can say no. Why? Because that's a midata nevahi. That's a humbleness, a humility. That a person just goes around and say, you ask him out, do you know this Masechet? And he doesn't say yes. All right? Tosfos jumps on right away and says, what do you mean? We have the Gemara in Kiddushin. The Gemara in Kiddushin says, Shinantam, Shihu, Devei Torah, Bechudadim Beficha, that there's a requirement that the Devei Torah be on the tip of your tongue, that you be knowledgeable, and that you respond. So if a person asks you alacha, atagam game, don't stutter, don't hesitate, you must answer the alacha right away. So he says, that's dafko. This issue is Adam Abashol Din Ohora'a. There's a difference between why the person's asking you this information, whether you know this Masechet or not. If he's coming to ask you about the Masechet because he needs to know halacha, or he's trying to understand the Masechet, there you can't move away, you can't lie about it, because you have an obligation to answer. You have an obligation to answer him clearly and to make sure that he gets the halacha. On the other hand, if he is just asking the question to see, you know, how much does this guy know, right? Or is how much your, you know, is this guy, you know, is he a real Talmud Chacham? In that case, you're allowed to lie and say that you don't know it. Because there's no to'elet. In knowing the Masechet, there's no to'elet to this other individual. Since there is no to'elet to the other individual, then you can lie and do it to have humility or humbleness. On the other hand, he's coming to learn, or he's coming to ask halacha, there you're obligated to respond, because that's your job. Your job, when you know the Torah, is to give it over to others. Now, so now for Puraya. What's Puraya? So that's bed. Puraya is a bed. So Rashi says the question here is, Shimashta mitatcha. If someone asks him, did you have marital relations? You're my love. He can say no. Midatzniut. Because it's a midatzniut. The question is, why is a person asking him this question? Right? It seems a little bit strange. Of course, Tosfos jumps right away and says, How could that be? And he says, Enri Gilud Shishalu compares Rashi. Doesn't seem that that would be a common question that people come up to a Talmid Chacham and ask if he had, right, did he have marital relations? Doesn't seem like a normal question. So he says, Tosfos says, no. They ask them, the question here is, in Balkeri Haya, Balo Bala Beit Midrash. Right, in their day, they had the Takana, they were a Balkeri, they would go to the Mikvah, and they wouldn't come to the Beit Midrash that day. So if he didn't come to the Beit Midrash that day, so someone approaches him and says, why weren't you in the Beit Midrash? Were you a Balkeri? So there he doesn't have to answer him in the affirmative. Right? So he can say, no, I didn't come because whatever other reasons, he can give an ulterior or an alternate answer over here. Alternative answer. Because the second possibility is Shalush Shachapta Mitazu, did you sleep on this bed? So he shouldn't answer in the affirmative again. Did he sleep on this bed? He can say no, because maybe they'll find Kerry, they'll find something on the bed. And so since that is unpleasant or unbecoming, therefore he can lie and say he didn't sleep on this bed, or he can say again that he didn't come to the Beis Medrash for an alternate reason. That's Tosfos. Now the third thing is Ushpiza. Ushpiza is, right, a guest house, a host. So Rashi quotes the, what's the question here? Shalu al Ushpizidoim kablu b'sever panim yafot. Did they treat him nicely? Did they handle him nicely? Was this a good place to go and stay? Right? And he can say no. He says that because it's a midah tovah. He's doing a favor to the host when he does that. Says otherwise, other people who are not of good ilk will come and spend a lot of time in this ushpiza, in this host, in this bed and breakfast, and they're going to end up using up all the money. Now, again, it's not a bed and breakfast where you're paying for the staying. This is where they're hosting out of the goodness of their heart. And if this Talmud Chacham says, oh yeah, this place is fantastic, they do everything for you, then there's going to be a line at the door for people to show up and to come and eat there and spend their time there, and they're going to end up using up all their money. Tosfos says, over here, he does first say, it's like Perush Rashi, he understands that that is the meaning of the Gemara over here. But then he says, don't leave the Gemara in Brachos says, Oreach Tov, Omer, Kol Ma Sheterach Bal Bayit, Lo Terach Alosh Bishvili. A good guest says that whatever the Baal Bayit did, he did for me. I mean, that's the way a good guest acts. So if you're talking about a good guest acts that way, then how come over here you can lie and say no? I mean, that there is also a second aspect to this, which is if you don't compliment the host or the hostess that held you, then it actually casts aspersions on these people that they don't take care of their guests. So how do you balance between these two? So he says that depends on who you're speaking with. If you're talking about Bnei Adam HuGanim, if you're talking about good people, people can be trusted, people aren't going to go and then just take advantage of these individuals, then you can tell them the truth, and you can say this, they were unbelievable, these people are just top-notch. On the other hand, right, on the other hand, you cannot, when it's people that are suspect, people of not good ill, people that might take advantage of these hosts, then you may not tell them the truth, you can lie, and tell them that don't. It wasn't so good, you should never go to these people, because otherwise they're going to be overwhelmed, and it's going to end up leading to their detriment. The question now is that the Gemara in other places, the Gemara in Yevamot, right, actually, yes, we have the Gemara Ketubot, which is obviously about Kale Naev HaChasuda, person's allowed to be, seems to be shown over there. The main Gemara is the Gemara in Yevamot and Daf Samach Hei. Samach Samach Hei Mabet there, the Gemara says, Amar Rabbilah, Mishrim Rabbilah, Rabbi Shimon, Mutar Lo Le'adam Lishnot B'Dvar HaShalom. For peace, a person is allowed to lie or change his words. What's the example that's brought? With the Yosef and his brothers. The brothers at the end of Sefer Bereishit lie to Yosef and say that his father said that he should take care of them and forgive them. So again, there they did it because of Mipnei HaShalom. Now, Rabbi Natan Omer Mitzvah. Not only is it a mutar, but it's even a mitzvah to be shown in Mipnei HaShalom because of what Shmuel said. Shmuel says that I can't go over there. Ushma Sha'ol V'Argeni. Right, I can't do this because if Shmuel finds out about it, then he will kill me. So over there, again, Shmuel, they create a lie or an excuse for why they're going, why he's doing this, so that Shaul, it won't be obvious to Shaul that he's doing this, and he won't get killed. So again, you're lying because Mipnei Shalom, the Beir of Shmuel Tana, the Dola Shalom, Shem Pakarish Baruch Hu Shinabo. And not only Shalom is so great that even Hashem changed it, and that has to do with Sarah and Abraham, when Hashem approaches Abraham about what Sarah said, he changes, right, he changes it, the wording of exactly what Sarah said in order not to cause cause a problem with Shalom Bayit between Abraham and Sarah. So what do you do? How do you reconcile between these two Gemara, why does the Gemara over here not bring, right, the Gemara in Yevamot? And why, or on the other hand, why does the Gemara in Yevamot not bring these issues? Why, both of them are talking about where you're allowed to change your words, Mitur Lishnot. How come they, one doesn't touch the other? So Tosos, the last line of Tosos here says, well, Hadalo Choshiv Ha from Mutur Lishnot Mipay Darchei Shalom. Why did the Gemara leave out that Gemara in Yevamot? Says, Mishum Dahani Nami Mishum Darchei Shalom. That these are basically subsets of the category of Mipay Ha Shalom. He says, Vain Rigilin Yoter Me'achirim Hachi Nachin Hani. So why do they bring these? Right, if it's a subset of shalom, just bring the idea that you can lie because of shalom. Says these are more frequent or more common. Because they're more frequent or more common, these as a subset or subcategory of mutar lishnot b'pnei shalom. Those are the examples that the Gemara brought. So Tosfos reconciles between the two Gemarot by saying really there's only one category that's called mutar lishnot b'pnei shalom. Right, but then that subsets of that category, the examples here brought in our Gemara. The reason our Gemara brought these and not others is because they're more common or more frequent. There are other Rishonim that reconcile in a different way. The Rif, for instance, Rif over here in the Gemara, but Metzia brings down that there's a difference between whether one is Mutar Lishnot or Mitzvah Lishnot. Right? It's a difference between, right, it's Mutar, right, it's a Heter, or it's Dukhiya maybe, versus Hutra or a Mitzvah, where one is required to be Mishaneh Mishneh Hashalom. And he says that that's the difference over here. Mistavilon, Dailo Chashiv Ha Bahadi Hanach Tlat Mile. Why does the Gemara over here not mention Shalom from the Gemara in Vermont? It says, Mishum Dailo Yitzrichle De Mitzvahi. That they didn't have to make or bring down here because to change one's word, to lie Mipnei Shalom, is a mitzvah. It's not simply mutar. Whereas over here, Yitzrichle Hanach Dushut. Over here, these are permitted. One is permitted to lie in these instances, but not that he's obligated to lie in these instances. As whereas, when it comes to shalom, when it comes to the mitzvah of shalom, over there, the one is mitzvah. One is obligated to lie in shalom. That's how the Rif reconciles it. So you have Tosfos saying that these three are subsets of the category of shalom. You have the Rif who's saying that the shalom is a higher or unique category that you have to lie, you must lie, it's a mitzvah to lie in that instance versus these which are shut, whether it's permitted. The Rambam, on the other hand, the Rambam lists all four of these items in a single halacha. The Rambam differentiates between none of them, looks at them all as examples, all four of them examples. He says, Rambam, in Hilchos Gezeilah Vaveda, Perek Yudalid, Halacha Yudgimel says, B'med Varim Amurim, when can a return of its via to ayin to a tamachom, which we see the halacha in a second, is Tawid Batik. Sheinu mishaneh b'tipuro klal, Ella, he never lies except for shalom, masechet, mitah, ubayit shu mitarech bo. So he lists four items on an equal plane. He just sees them all as four examples of the same thing that a person, where is a talmud chacham allowed to change his word. Tosa, as opposed to Tosas and the Rif, we're trying to reconcile between the Gemarot. Tosas, the Rambam, sees the Gemarot as just listing, right, other examples in context. They're just dealing in context. So here in the context, here are these three examples I brought. In the context of Yevamot, those are another example, but they're all on equal plane. They are all examples of the same item. Right, it's talking about general. Why are you talking about general people? Right. Right, that could be a difference. And the only reason that to say otherwise is because even if you say that the Gemara there is talking about anybody, it still applies to Talmidei Chachamim also.
And maybe because that's a mitzvah, it's a given. It's always good. Talmidei Chachamim,
right,
works a mitzvah, but shalom, there's a few differentiating between shalom and mitzvah.
Right, so that's a possibility over here, which is the Chidah says something along the lines of what you're saying, Shalom. It's the Chidah says that as opposed to what the Rif did, said that shalom's greater, the Rif says that anava and sniut are even greater than shalom. And therefore, that's over here. That's why they're permitted to even to a Talmud Chacham to lie in these instances, because those are at a higher level. Shalom, okay, everybody can lie for shalom, but that's a lot. But anavat siyut, which is so important, it's so excessive there, we say, okay, even a Talmud Chacham should be able to lie in these, is mutar to lie. So therefore, we have four ways to look at or reconcile between the Gemarot. You have Tosos, who just says that these are subsets of shalom. Right? We have the Rif, who says shalom is a mitzvah, these are reshut. Right, we have the Rambam, who just puts them all on an equal plane. And we have the Chidah, who goes the other way, who says that these are even greater level than that of Shalom. And the last thing I'll just mention here, which is important, there are different ways to look at when you come into a contradiction or a metach between, conflict between lying and an issue like these three issues or the shalom, how do you view what's permitted or not permitted over here? So there is a Uraim who is a very important Uraim, but the Uraim over here is Mechadish something, which people are doing a vote now that the Rabbeinu Yonah, the Talmidei Rabbeinu Yonah, when it comes to the Mishnah Avot, which talks about Shalom, the Talmidei Rabbeinu Yonah argue or disagree with this Uraim over here. The Uraim says that when you define what it means to lie, he says that you can only lie, right? He says that Chol Yirei Hashem Yidnu Leiv Leitrachek. Anybody who's a Yirei Hashem will make sure not to lie. Yuchal Levoli Dei Ra'ah, when it can cause something bad to happen. Lying is only a problem when there can be an outcome that is negative from it. About sheker, she'enu bali de ra'a, sheker that doesn't have any negative or detrimental outcome, lo yizhira Torah lav. Torah does not warn you about this. The davar lameid minyano, shibarasha ra lebriyota katuv midaber. The Pasuk tells you that not to lie. It's talking about a rasha who does things that are negative or bad for others. Dekhtiv midvar sheker terchak, v'nakiv tzadik al tarug. So there is a matter of Rasha, which says, Mitvar Sheker Terchak. So therefore, the Uraim defines Dmar Sheker Terchak as Hayish Yesh Bo Ra Lebriot. That's something that's bad for other people, because it's good to go Nev Dat, that whatever he's doing is going to cause others problems. So the Uraim changes the definition of what Sheker is. In order to, in a sense, deal with this Gemara, when it comes into a conflict between these items, and sheker, it's really not sheker. It's not sheker, because sheker is only when there's a negative outcome. Since in all these items there's a positive outcome, or there's no negative outcome, it's actually to the benefit, especially by shalom, because those are all good things or better things, there is no sheker in that instance. It's an unbelievable Uraim that lying only applies when you do something bad or cause something bad to happen. Otherwise it's not called lying. And therefore people would not be lying.
The problem with the emergency Uraim is that it becomes a negative. Who makes the decision? Because once you believe in, say, an individual's discretion, you say, okay, but then they have a comment to say, you know, it would interest, you know, that they're going to use proper discretion there. Like, it becomes a slippery slope there. Somebody can always rationalize themselves.
I agree with you. It's a very the Uraim is an unbelievable. It's an unbelievable Uraim. It's right. It has some subjectivity to it. Look, the Gemara lays out instances where you can, but what the Uraim is saying is that this is not lying. This is not called lying. Over here, these are not called lying. They're not in the category of lying, which is amazing. It's an incredible Kiddush. What I would say just about the Uraim, which is like season one, wants to do a joke, so they lie as part of a joke. They lie. So according to the Uraim, that's not called lying. Right, it's not lying. So there, it's easy to deal with Uraim. But on the other hand, the Tabina Rabbeinu Yonah, the Rabbeinu Yonah on Avos, his parish on Avos, and then the Perek Aleph on Mishnah Yechad, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, Shlosh Dvarim Alom Kayam, right, one of those is the Emet. So when it comes to Emet, listen to this. He says, V'amru Chazal, Safilu Sipur Dvarim Ba'alma. Just conversation, Ein lo la'adom l'shakir, kol uvda d'bei rav. He brings the example of the son of Rav who was trying to do what his father do, keep it out of aim, and his mother wanted to do the opposite of what he wanted. So his mother was trying to cause pain to her husband, and the son knew what his mother was doing, so he would switch and do the opposite to do exactly what his father, and do for his father what he wanted. So his father said, don't do that, you have to listen to your mother and do exactly, never change, never lie about what you want to say. So that he would say, his father would say, I want this. So the son knew that if he told the mother that, she'd do the opposite. So he told her the opposite so he would get what he wanted. So the Rav says, don't lie. Alright, so now, what does the Rabbeinu Yonah say out of this? He says, Ki Adam ha-magil shonola dvar sheker, a person who becomes accustomed to lying, or saying things that are not truth, shein ba lo hefseid v'lo toelet, even though there's no loss, and there's no benefit from it, like a joke. Right? Gam ki yavol dvar b'dvarim shel ikar. When he comes then to speak about things that are of importance, lo yuchal lomar emet. He will not be accustomed. A person who holds himself to that standard of emet all the time, then even when it comes to important issues, he will also be emet. The way a person conducts themselves in a regular basis or in other instances will impact on the way he speaks when it comes to his normal or important speech. So Rabbeinu Yonah, as opposed to the Uraim, sees a negative aspect to lying when one lies, even in a case where there's no harm and no problem. He calls it sheker, and he calls it sheker because it impacts on other aspects of your life. When it comes to real issues, you're going to speak, you're going to become accustomed, you're going to not be so sensitive to the emet that it's going to impact the way you speak in other instances. So as opposed to the Uraim, who doesn't even see a sheker when there's no hefsed or no ra, The Rabbeinu Yonah extends and says sheker is so permeates or so bad that even when it comes to issues where you would think there's no issue, why, oh, who cares if I lie over here? It doesn't really impact, doesn't hurt anybody. Don't lie, because it'll impact on other areas. I'm not saying that he didn't necessarily disagrees with the arranged definition, but it's clear from the Rabbeinu Yonah he takes a totally different view of sheker. The sheker is such so poisonous that one shouldn't even approach it, even in cases where there's no negative, even like in a joke, that it would be the Rabbeinu Yonah would say, don't do it. Alright, so now Gemara says, my nafkamino, who cares what they can lie about? Meaning that, okay, so they can lie or change their words about it, just as we explained. That's how we know whether he's a Talmud Chacham. You want to know what the definition of Talmud Chacham is that he always tells the truth. He never lies except for these three instances. If so, if you know that, then you can return an object with Tzviut Einam when he says, that's mine. That's okay. If we know that these are the only three issues that he ever, you know, speaks untruths about, then we can turn it to him. If he also, you know, changes his word, is not so straightforward when it comes to other things, then we do not then return it to him. By Zutra Chasida, it was stolen from his host a silver goblet. So he wanted to help his host out and find the one who stole it. And he saw one of the Rabbanan from the Beis Medrash that he used to wash his Yadayim, and then he used to wipe them off on his friend's cloak, on his friend's clothing. But instead of wiping them off on towel on his own clothing, he wiped on his friend's clothes. Amar, hi no hi. He's the guy who took it. Right, that because he doesn't worry about other people's possessions, he doesn't care about other people's property. The fact that he's willing to wipe his hands off on other people's property shows that he doesn't care. Kafde, he tied him up, or I don't know, he interrogated him, voted, and he admitted to the fact that he was the one who took the goblet. All right, Tanya. Now we have a brisa going back to our position of Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, who says that by clay anfuria, right? Before we said that from our Mishnah by clay anfuria that Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar says that they don't ain't chayav lachuiz, you don't have to be machuiz, and then we just explained what is that. So now the Brisa says, Moder Rabbi Shimon Elazar bekelim chadashim shesavat anayim. If it's new utensils, new items that you have had time to acclimate to, shechayav lachuiz, then you have to be machuiz. So that follows in what the position of Yehuda Amar Yehuda Mishmuel said before, that in case of shalos savat anayim, that's what Rabbi Shimon Elazar is talking about in the Mishnah. The Brisa then says explicitly when it's not that case, then Rabbi Shimon Elazar agrees to the Chachamim that you have to be machriz, because that he's had enough time to acclimate or become accustomed to the item. Beilein ka'il chadim shalos avat anayim. What are certain utensils where one does not have a familiarity with them? She'en lachayiv lachriz, kugon. Here are some examples. Kugon, badei machatin. Right? Badei machatin, Rashi calls them poles, on which a person places needles. It's like a pole or a stick where they stick needles into. I would say the equivalent of a pin cushion. The only thing is, it's not a cushion over here, it's a pole. Right? It's further on. Later on, the Gemara changes the girsa based on the Rambam and says, Lokata bade elamachatin. Right? Below badin. And later on, he says, look in the Rosh and others in the Rambam, that the girsa here is really just needles and not needles that are stuck into a pole, because it doesn't seem so plausible or so it makes more sense that they were hanging the needles and sticking them into poles. Right, so that they take out the word badin over here later on. All right, so one of them is badim shel machatin. Another example is tsinoriot, right? Some sort of forks, which Rashi says these were mazlagot ketanim, small forks, shetavot bo zahav, that they used to be toveh, they used to work with the or thread with the golden. The threads, they used to use them to separate out either the chutim or to spin, whatever they had to do with the strings, they used to use these golden forks for that reason. Umachrozot shel kardumot. Right, and a string full of kardumot. Kardumot in general are spades or shovels or a hatchet, whatever it is that they strung up. That these are, since it seems to be that these are such common items, kol ilu shamru, right, all of these are, when we say them, when all these that we say that they are mutar, meaning that you don't have to be machriz, you can keep them, is because they're things or items that are so common that a person takes time, a lot more time, to become accustomed or acclimated to them. Therefore, if they're new items that this person has, we don't believe that he has a tviyat ena by. But that's only true. That's only finds them one at a time. But matzan shnayim shnayim, he finds groupings or a bunch of these together, then chayav lachriz, then he has to be machriz. Why? Because Rashi says, minyan nabi siman. Because minyan is a siman. It's interesting, right, which we said in the Gemara yesterday, that minyan is a siman. Although, you run into the problem that we had on the first Avod of the Parak, which is that when you have minyan, it's only a siman.
If it's non-standard.
Right, if it's non-standard, it's not two. Because every day he's going to announce a multiplicity, he's going to announce a plurality, and then he's going to say two. That's the minimum we said there, that you need at least three. According to our mission, two is not sufficient for minyan.
It needs to be at least three, and it needs to be...
That has to be unusual. That's because something unusual. So here the Gemara does only says two, so I don't say the Gemara doesn't ask, I don't say the Rishonim asking necessarily, how do you reconcile, but maybe there are different opinions about...
Maybe you don't say at all plural, you just say you found something.
Right, okay, so right, if it's not machriz, that it's a plurality, then right, maybe that's a possibility. So my badei, so what's a badei? Shokhe, right, that's a branch, like a large branch, a piece of wood. V'amrai karulei badei, why do they call it a badei? The davar, the talubei, the things that you hold, put, or hang things on, midei bad karule. They call it a bad. So either that they either put these pins in, hung these pins from this pole. That's why it's called a bad. So a piece of this piece of wood or this branch is called a bad because people hang things on it. That's why it's called bad b'sochei. Right? Jehavu tznan. Like we have in obviously not a tznan that the piercing has changed because it's not really a mishnah. Damrinan hatam in sukkah. Alechad bevadechad. You're talking about hadassim, right? That have lost. By a revolt that have lost parts of their leaves, and how much you have to have left. So there it says you need three leaves, and igadami you need just one leaf on one bud on one stem. That's what bud. You can see that the word bud over there is something number one that holds something else, which is that there are leaves hanging from it, and number two is bud is a branch or a piece of wood. Rabbi Shimon Lazar Omer. So Rabbi Shimon says, so now the Gemara is going through a sequence, trying to define what Rabbi Shimon Lazar says and what the Chachamim disagree about. Amatzil min ari, someone who saves an object from a lion, min a dove, from a bear, min a namer, from a right, the leopard or tiger, min a bartless part like a polecat, so it's a cheetah. Min zuto shel yam, again the high tide, which zuto shel nar, the overflowing of the river on the banks. Amutzei b'sratzio platio, sratzio platio are the main thoroughfares in the city. You know, either the thoroughfares between cities or the thoroughfare in the city. Gedola, large mikoma, kom sharabim, mitzuim shem, any place that there's a large amount of traffic, are you shalom? These are all his. Why? Mipnesha balim itiashim ahead. Right? The balim give up hope. There's just no chance you're ever going to get it back. In these types of places, there's such huge traffic. There's so many people going by that either it's going to get trampled, the siman's either going to be lost, the item's going to be picked up by somebody. There's just very little chance that you expect to see it again. The little chance you expect to see it again, there's yeush, and therefore you can take it. Yibailu. Now let's understand this. Kikam Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Barov Kanani. When Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar made a statement over here that we're in large trafficked areas, is that because it's not a place where there are rogue Jews? It's a place where there's rogue Kananim. And since there are rogue Kananim over there, that is why he has yeush. It's yeush because he assumes rogue Kananim who are not going to be meshiv the aveda, and that's why he gives up hope. Aval Barov Yisrael lo. Or when it comes to a Rogi Yisrael, you wouldn't say that, because you would say if it's Yisrael, they always pick it up. They're always going to return it. O Dilma. I feel a Rogi Yisrael Nami. Even when there's a Rogi Yisrael, he still has Yeush. Why is that? Tosfos points out over here. Time is shumdi in shape, lomale, shakale. Not everybody is of the greatest integrity. Even Jews are not of the greatest integrity, and therefore he suspects that somebody will pick it up and not be machliz, because there's so much traffic, so many people going there. So you can't assume that somebody of good standing is going to pass by and pick it up and return it to him. Tamar, so Gemara says, Imtim Salomar, if you want to say, Afilu Barov Yisrael, not me. If you want to say that, Rabbi Shimon also makes a statement, even when there's a Rov Yisrael, that he believes over there, you can keep it. Amar, Pliga Rabbanan Le, Olo Pliga. Do the Rabbanan argue on him or not argue on him? Imtim Salomar, Pliga Barov Yisrael. Alright, let's say that the Rabbanan argue on him. He said, Rabbi Shimon also says, by Rov Yisrael, you can keep it. The Rabbanan say, you cannot keep it when it's Rov Yisrael. Now, so if you say, Imtim Salomar, Pliga Barov Yisrael, Vaday. A Barov Yisrael, Badai Pligi, right? I'm saying if you want to say that they do argue, right? Barov Yisrael, Badai Pligi, Barov Kananim, Pligi, Olo Pligi. When it comes to Kananim, do they argue or do they not argue? Meaning that, okay, we know they argue. Maybe our Rabbanan agreed with Shimon Elazar when it comes to Barov Kananim, that you can assume that it's gone. Bimtim Salomar, Pligi, Afilu Barov Kananim. If you say that the Chachamim even arguing when it comes to Barov Kananim, and he's not in Yai straight away, Alach Kamoto, and Alach Kamoto. Is Alach like him or not like him? So Mar says, "Im tim zalom alachu kemoto." And even if you say the lach is like Rabbi Shimon Elazar, "Daf kabarov kananim." Is that only by when it's rov kananim we say that he's right? Oh, I feel the barov Israel, or even by rov Israel. So Mar is basically querying all the permutations here of possibilities, which is: did Rabbi Shimon Elazar only make a statement by kananim? Did he also make it by Israel? That's the two possibilities in Rabbi Shimon Elazar, only by Kananim or also by Yisrael. And then the other, by the Chachamim. Do they disagree with Rabbi Shimon Elazar by Rob Kananim? Do they disagree with him by Rob, I'm sorry, by Rob Yisrael? Do they disagree with him by Rob Yisrael? And then who's the halacha like in each of these instances? Okay?
So following the rules of the Rambam, does that mean that at this point we can say that the halacha at least follows Rabbi Shimon Elazar?
Some of these cases. Yeah, I don't know. Right, it's very hard here because the Gemara is querying in a strange way. The Gemara is not making an assumption of, okay, let's do this, ask the next question. The Gemara is just querying about the whole...
It seems like always happened
that. Right, yeah. I think, it seems like more the whole situation. They're trying to clarify how the whole situation is, and it's not a permutation where you see the Gemara has reached a conclusion. I think this might be different than those normal cases. Someone finds money in a shul or in a base measure. I will not translate this word. It's a machlokas Rashi and Tosfos how to translate this means rabim mitzuyim sham. These are his mipnei shabalim mitjashim mehem. Because the balim give up hope of finding them, they assume that they're not getting them back. Rashi says over here, rabim mitzuyim sham means that there is heavy traffic. Okay, that the what we mean over here is heavy traffic. Right, because we're seeing a second. The Gemara says, "Man shmait lei da'asa bata ruba." Who's the one we know that goes after the rove? So Rashi over here means ruba does not mean rove, like rove and mute. Over here, ruba means rabim. Who's the one who says that when there's a large amount of traffic, that there we say you can keep it? That's what Rashi does. Tosu says no. Rove over here is like rove anywhere else in the Gemara. Means rove and mute. Now, it's not rove and mute that Rabbi Shimon Elazar is addressing the issue that we have in other places in Shas, like Rabbi Meir is koshish the mute. No, it's rove and mute, which is unique to Aveda. Because it has implications in terms of Aveda, right? Where it says rove and mute, but not that this has application outside of Aveda. Okay, now what we're going to see now, the Gemara is going to bring two brightos down. The first brightos is going to read better in Rashi's way of explaining it here, that ruba means highly traffic. The second brightos is going to read much better according to Tosfos. So it's clear that they were driven by the brightos over here to define what this ruba means. And one of them works better for Rashi, and one of them works better for Tosfos. The best way to be would be, obviously, to learn the first one like Rashi and the second one like Tosfos. But, on the other hand, the problem is that using the same term in both cases, that means that the Gemara is changing the definition of the term. All right. So Rashi does it by the ruba of Shimon Elazar, Shema Mina. I feel the Rov Yisrael now, right? Because it must be that it's even by Rov Yisrael. Rav Shimon Elazar is one who says by Rov or by Rabim, right? That the cases you can keep it. What were the examples in this brisa? Bate Knesiot ubate Midrashot. Who's in shul and who's in the base medrash, right? Yochai Zbeina. Right? It says Mufuzarim. They're spread out all over the place. Even Mufuzarim, my area, right? But what are you talking about? It's Malkom Shem Rabim Mitzuyim Sham, right? Even what do you need it to be a place where there's heavy traffic then? Avil ain't Rabbi Mitzvim Sham. If it's all spread out all over the place, even if there's aren't a large amount of traffic there, there's still a need. What? Then you could just, if they're spread out, you don't have to announce them either, because it fell. It's clear that it fell, and there's no simon here. Elolam, it has to be a case where they're either tzvorim, they're wrapped up, or tzvorim, which is that they're piled up. I mean, that there's an indication that they were placed there. Vachum ha'iskinan. So, if that's the case, then we're definitely talking about Rov Yisrael, but not about Rov Yisrael. And a case where it's Rabbi Mitzvah, Rabbi Shimon Elazar, we see even before Rabbi Yisrael, he says there's din, that what? That you don't have to return it. Rabbi says, no. The case here is Bate Knesset Shel Kananim. We're talking about a Bate Knesset of Kananim. So in the Bate Knesset Shel Kananim, what is a Bate Knesset Shel Kananim? Bate Midrashot, Michael the Meimar. Okay? So the problem with Bate Knesset. You can call a Bate Knesset a place of the Kananim. Why? Because what's a Bate Knesset? Bate Knesset doesn't necessarily have to be a Makom Tfilah. Beit Knesset is a makom knisa. As Rashi says, Knesset is sifat makom, place where people gather together, shemitkanshim shalni te'et shalni yivayit. People get together, they have a town meeting. That is called a Beit Knesset, right? That's some of the machloket between some of the archaeologists, which has to do with, in places like Herodian, and maybe even Masada, right? Places where, well, Masada is afterwards, but when they had a Beit Knesset, when they find places that have a Beit Knesset, the time that the Beis Hamikdash is still around, what does it mean that this was a Beit Knesset? I mean, was it a Makom Tefillah or was it a Makom Knisa? It's where they had the town meeting, was where everybody got together. So Makhluk is whether the Beit Knesset were in use at certain times or times during when the Beis Hamikdash was still around. Right, so that's a question over here. So here you see the term Beit Knesset, that's what actually defining. That's simply meaning a shul or a place where you daven, but a place where people get together. But now that works well for Beit Knesset. But what are you going to do with Beit Medrash? Beit Medrash are clearly the defined term of a place where people learn. Right? So the Gemara says, but Beit Medrash Shulti Dan, Diyafri Behu Kananim. are Bati Medrash in which the Knanim are sitting. All right, now, I mean, between you and me, what are the Knanim doing in the Beis Medrash? Doesn't make so much sense. So how does Rashi say this? What does Rashi say? Rashi says that they're the guards. Right, that they chutz the ear, these were outside, and so they hired the guards, the security guards, were these hired these Knanim that used to guard the Bati Medrash. And so they're out. They have to be Behu Knanim. So Mar says, Hashda Dati the Hafka. You want to say that, but the Knesset Namididon are shuls, the Yatvi Behu Knanim. Again, that Yatvi Behu Knanim. So the way Rashi explains it, right? I mean, the way Tosus explains the Brisa now, Tosus says, I mean, rove means literally a rove. That the majority is Knanim, or the majority is Israel. I mean, that's really the idea here, is majority. If you say that, then the Brisa is very hard to understand. The Gemara's conclusion here, oh yeah, we're talking about our Bati Knesset, or our Bati Medrashot, where there's rove Knanim. Right? How could you have a majority of Knanim out in the Beis Medrash, even though they're security guards, even if they're out there? Doesn't make so much sense that in a Beit Knesset or in a Beit Midrash that they are the rove. So that's what Rashi did. Rashi said, no, the word's not rove, but the word is rabim. It has to do with high traffic or high volume of traffic. But what is that high volume mean? The question is, are there Knanim involved in it or not? When there's a high volume of traffic, plus there are a decent amount of Knanim there, then we're going to say the guy gives up hope. Why? Because there's Knanim that are going to be involved. You assume that one of the Knanim picked it up, and not one of the Jews. On the other hand, right, if there are no Knanim, or it's Rov Yisrael, meaning that it's all Yisrael that are walking there, then you'll have maybe some smichut adat, that a Jew will pick it up. So this way, it's a, this crisis reads easier according to Rashi, because how do you have Rov Knanim inside a Beis Medrash, or inside a Beit Knesset? Doesn't really make so much sense.
It grows man. I mean, if you have shomrim and the Jews go there, you know, if you have faith, that would have faith.
Yeah, I don't know.
Most of them sit around.
There's a great priest in Rabbi there who says that the Jews are coming there to study the Beis Medrash. That's what they're focused on. The Canadian, even though they may be numerically fewer, since their job is to be watchmen and guards, they're more likely to be looking around and find an object that's lost.
Right, so that would work well according to Rashi. She's saying that it has to do with heavy traffic. And the Knanim are disproportionately represented here because even though they're maybe not the rove, but they're disproportionately represented over here. I think you could say that in Rashi. Now, the second brisa, which is Tashma, Matzah ba'aveda, we find it in Aveda, Im rove Yisrael chayav lachriz. If it's a rove Yisrael, he has to be machriz. Im rove Knanim, enu chayav lachriz. If it's a rove Knanim, he doesn't have to be machriz. Mach ma'ile dam razlinim bat aruba. Who's the one who says that he go after the rove? From Shimon Elazar. Shraminak, yam rav shalom rove Knanim. Aval bar Yisrael, though. And when he says that's only that you have to be makhriz, when you can keep the item, is only when it's rov Knanim. But Rav Yisrael, lo. Rav says, Hamani Rabbanani, no, it's really the Rabbanon. Tifshu mino. So now, okay, at least we include something else. That what? The Modal Rabbanon, Rav Shimon Elazar, but rov Knanim. That they agree to Rav Shimon Elazar's opinion when it comes to rov Knanim. No, Elololam, no, Rav Shimon Elazar, he. Vafilu Barov Yisrael Nami. Even Rav Yisrael, Vahaf Maiskina, it's a special case of Tamun. Special case that it was buried, it was not exposed. The object was not exposed. Right, so now, if it's not exposed, then we're going to see in a second that all the dinim change. But this one out here, Tosus reads better into this brisa, because here the brisa seems to really talk about, not about traffic, but about majority. Who is the majority of passerbys, or the large number of passerbys? If it's Rov Knanim, or Rov Yisrael, that will determine whether you have to be machriz. And if you say that it's all about heavy traffic, then the Rov Yisrael, Rov Knanim, according to Rashi, should not make a difference. As long as it's heavy traffic, plus there are a significant or a decent amount of Knanim that are passing by there, then that already should make it a problem. Now, if you add in the Rashba's explanation, then you can say even when it's Rov Yisrael and everybody's a passerby, then nobody has any more attention or lack of attention to the object, then maybe over there you could explain Rashi in that manner. Okay, now, Tamun. Iba Tamun, the Gemara says, Iba Tamun, Ma'i Vante, Gabay. Why is he picking it up? Tznan, we have a Mishnah, we have Tznan, Matzah Kli Bashpa, person finds a Kli in the garbage, Michuse, it's covered, Lo Yigabo, you shouldn't touch it. Megulah, Notelo Machriz, if it's exposed, you should take it and be Machriz. Gemara says, no, Kedamara Papa, Ba'ashpa, Shein Asriyali Thnot. This is a case for garbage that's not on a regular basis cleared out. So therefore, if someone puts an object there, their expectation is that when they come back, the object will still be there. So if they buried it in this garbage, they're expecting to get it back. But all of a sudden, the person, the Baal Bayit, decides that he doesn't want to leave this garbage anymore. He's going to clear it out. So when you see him about to clear it out, right, you say, oh my gosh, if I don't take this, it's going in the garbage. Right, so therefore I'm going to make sure to take it to protect this guy. So our case here is the same case, where it was hidden in the garbage, it was tamun in the garbage, and therefore when it came, they were about to take it away, you said, oh, I don't want this guy to lose it, so you pulled it out. But because it was tamun, right, that's indicative of the fact that this person left it there, and he's going to know where it is. If that's the case, it's nothing to do with Right? The reason that we announce it over here has nothing to do with the robe over here, but it has to do with, I mean, it has to do with the robe, but it has to do with the robe in a unique case. Where whether the person's expectations is whoever cleared out the garbage, or whoever saw it, took it, is going to take care of them. But that's a unique case because of Tamun. So that's the big mark over here. Now, Tosa says, over here, why is the guy picking it up? You see them about to clear out the garbage. Why are you picking up? Let the garbage men do that. The garbage men, when they're cleaning out, are going to see the object, and they're going to take it. So why do you have to jump in all of a sudden and take the object to protect this individual? So he says, your fear is that the person who's coming to clear away the garbage might be a non-Jew, or he might not see it. So therefore, you take it earlier because you want to ensure that the object is not lost. Now, did someone explain this braisa? The Olam Rabbanan. The Rabbanan are the authors of this braisa. Mitani hein shelo. That braisa doesn't say that it belongs to him. Enu chayav lachriz ktani. So here the Gemara defines or changes what we've known to now some sort of relationship here, which is any time that it's not yours, we have said that you must be machriz. If it is yours, you do not have to be machriz. So over here, the Gemara is disconnecting the two items and saying, yeah, eino chanami, over here, you do not have to be machriz. Right? He'll keep it in his house, and if a Jew shows up and gives him the indications of the simanim, then he'll give it back to him. Otherwise, you don't have to go out and make a public announcement. You're not obligated, because there's probably a likelihood that the Kananim were involved over here. Since the likelihood of Kananim over here, you don't have to be machriz. But on the other hand, you can't still take it for yourself. Now, it's interesting. I don't know how the guy knows that you have it. I mean, that if you're not machriz, how does he know you're the person to come to? Unless you live nearby, or there's some sort of indication that you have it. Right, he looks around, he starts asking around for it. I guess that's how it is. But here there's a...
Who would be the one who's likely to be clearing out that...
Right, that area. So here there's a disconnect. The Gemara disconnects between whether you can keep it and announcing. Tashma, Damar Abasi, Matzah Chavid Yain, Beer Shiruva Kananim. Person finds a barrel of wine in a city that is Rove Kananim. Muteret Mishum Mitziah. You're permitted to keep it in terms of Mitziah. Basura Behana. But you're not allowed to have it because it is possibly Yain Nesach. It's a possibility that it's Yain Nesach, so you can't have it. By Yisrael, Natan Basiman. Yisrael comes and gives the simanim for it. Muteret b'shtiya l'motza'ah. Then not only can you keep it, but now you can drink it, because he just told you it was his. So if he told you it's his, then it's not Yain Nesek anymore. Come on, who's this braisa, like? Reb Shimon Elazar. Like Reb Shimon Elazar. Shma minok, Reb Shimon Elazar, Berov Kananim. That's it. He says it even in a case, or he does say it in a case where there is Rov Kananim. Aval Baro Yisrael, lo. And so Yisrael is not. Mar says, no. Lo loim elachar Reb Shimon Elazar, filu Berov Yisrael, nami kamar. Even by Rav Yisrael, he would say it. Rav Asi Savar La Bekavate Bechado, Upoligale Bechado. Maybe he, Rav Shimon Elazar has an opinion. And Rav Asi is an Amora, is possibly like Rav Shimon Elazar, like we had the question before. Is the Loch like Rav Shimon Elazar? Maybe it's only like him by Rav Kananim. Maybe it's not like him by Rav Yisrael. So Rav Shimon Elazar himself could have the opinion that by Rav Kananim and Rav Yisrael, you keep it. But Rav Asi, when he's paskening, he paskened only like him when it came to Rav Kananim. V'chim Afkar Das Siri Be'ana. Right, if it's Asur Be'ana, Muteret Mishum Mitziah, but you're allowed to keep it. But my hilchasa, what do you care? I mean, that why would you take this item in, this barrel of wine, and keep it in your house? And it's asur b'ana. So Amar Ravashi l'kankana. It's good for the barrel, for what the wine's in. I mean, the wine's sitting in the pitcher or the barrel, and because of that, once you dump out the wine, the ayin esech, right, you can use the barrel. And so it's a good question about the barrel itself, whether it was boleach in the wine or its impact on the barrel. I didn't. I started to think about it.
Sell the wine.
What?
People sell the wine to a guy.
No, because Yain Nesach is Asur Be'ana. It's Asur Be'ana, so you can't sell the wine. You can't get any benefit from the wine. But at least the Kankan, you can get some benefit from it. Has to be a case where you can clear it out, or it might have implications again. I didn't want to get so involved. I started to think about it, but the controversy about scotch, right? Whether they're put in sherry caskets, right? If they're put into sherry vessels, when a barrel still has the housed wine beforehand. Caskets, right? Not caskets, right? We're not bearing. We're not bearing them, but sherry casks that they were kept in, right? The question of sherry casks when it comes to scotch, right, is an issue of whether there's the tom that's polite from the side, whether it has impact. So maybe this has some relationship to that. I didn't look into it so heavily, but just pointing it out. All right. How gabra? Dasha chaba zuzei ditzari v'sadina. Person found 4 coins that were wrapped up in a handkerchief. Ishadu benar biram, but they're thrown into the river now. And after the coming to Rabbi Yehuda, I came to Rabbi Yehuda. Lay zil achris. Go and make an announcement. He says, "Ah, zutu shoyahu." Isn't this the case of high tide or thrown in the river? You know, I mean, a guy threw it in the river. What do you expect? He says, "Shiny nar biram." Nar biram is a different animal. Why is that? Came with the mitka la mitka lo miyish, because it gets stuck. There are rocks. and mud that clogs sediment, that clogs up the river, people are not miyayish. Why? Because they come out and dredge the river. On a regular basis, they dam the river and they dredge the river. So the assumption is that this guy, if I threw something or something's lost in the river, that he will get it back because they're going to dredge it on a regular basis. So Mar says, Ruba Knanim Nehu. And this is a case where it's Ruba Knanim. Shema Minoy, and Aloch, Rub Shimon Lazar, Afil Barok Knanim. So over here, Rabbi Yehuda, Pachin Alocha, that he still has to be Machriz, even in a case where it's Rub Knanim. Mar says, no, Shani Mar Biran, Yisrael Sakulei. No, Mar Biran is different because the Jews are the ones that used to dig it out or dredge it. Sakul means they plugged it, but Yisrael Karulei, and they're the ones who dredge it. So since Jews are the ones who dam it and dredge it, then came into Yisrael Sakulei, Imor Yisrael Nafal. Since the Jews who are the ones who dam the river, they're the ones who are damming it and digging it, are going to say, it must have fallen from a Jew. Came Yisrael Karulei, Lo Miyayish. And since the Jews are dredging it, they're going to, the guy's not going to give up hope because he's going to, both parties are going to think that the other, it fell, either the Jews are going to think who find it are going to think it came from a Jew because they're the ones who dam it and dig it. And the guy who has it falling in there is going to say, I expected to get it back because the ones who are dredging the river are Yisrael. So even though the populace around it is Rob Kinanim,
nevertheless, the Moses concluded that if it's Rob Goy, not because of Yush, because I don't know if to return it, it probably fell from a Goy.
Right, there are two possibilities of Rob Kinanim. Rob Kinanim can infect them both. I don't have to be Machriz,
right.
But that is because, why do I not have to be Machriz?
It's
because it's probably either probably a Kinanim that lost it, or if it was Yisro, he was Mayayish, because he thinks Rob Kinanim is not going to get it back. It's both sides. You need both sides to think.
Right, but there is the more saying that it's not the case of a river. Yisro, Ruba Kinanim. That over there, we have to return it.
Right, that's what the Gemara's saying, yeah.
No, so this is not it. We're trying to answer, there's no proof against Rabbi Shimon.
So Lachla might say, here it looked like he passed against Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar because it was Rob Kinanim.
But
I said, it's not, it's a case of Rob Yisrael. So by Rob Yisrael, he's saying that you have to be Machriz. So it's clear there that
it's clear you can conclude at least either
by Rob Yisrael, the Lachla's not Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar.
Or Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar
doesn't hold that.
Right.
That's what I'm saying.
Exactly. One of those two. I mean, you don't have any. Either the Lachla's not like him or he doesn't hold it. That's true. Yes.
Right. So I guess what you can say is that it's clear that with Rob Yisrael,
you have to be Machriz. Or that's from what Rabbi Yehuda said, right?
Alright,
we're just going to keep moving. Alright. Rabbi Yehuda, Vashok, Vazil, Vatre, the Mashmoah. Yehuda was walking and conversing behind Mashmoah. Vashuka, the Beit Daisa. He was in the Shuka, the Beit Daisa, which are these split wheat kernels. This place that they sold them, so this was the Shuk for the split wheat kernels, in case you need to know where to go. So Amalei, Matzaka, Anaki, Mahu. So he has a theoretical question. If I found a wallet here, what would be the din? You can keep it. It's yours. I mean, this is a shuk. It's Malkum Shrabim Tzumcham. Ba'Yisrael v'natam ba'siman mao. After I picked it up, a Jew comes by and gives me the simanim, so we know it's for sure his. What's the din? Amalei chayav lachzir. Says, you have to return it. Says, tarte. That's a contradiction, right? If it's mine, why do I have to give it back? Or if the Jew's going to give a siman, I do have to give it back, then why should I be able to keep it? Says, Amalei lifnim mishurat adin. This is a lichnim issue with the din. I say you don't have to give it back to him, but the right thing to do over here is to give it back to him. So what does that mean? Lichnim issue with the din. Okay. What does it mean that you have to give lichnim issue with the din? Right. Chayav lachzir. Why do you have to do it? Why is lichnim issue with the din? So we'll talk and discuss in 1 minute. I just want to finish up part of the gemara here, and then I'm going to come back and discuss Tosos here about lichnim issue with the din.
Maybe the chayav lachzir was because he was speaking specifically to review
that. Right. Yeah. I don't know. Right.
Anyone else? Yeah.
That's very possible. Kiyad Abu Shmuel. Like the case of Rabbi Shmuel, the Ashkan Hanach Hamrei b'Midbaro. He found these donkeys wandering around in the desert. Vadrino the Marayu, the Batar Tracer Yarkoshato. So then these donkeys were walking around the Midbar. And now Rashi, the way Rashi explains is that they were around there for 12 months. They were lost already for 12 months. And then only after 12 months, Rabbi Abu Shmuel picked them up. So over there, he says, forget it. The Balaam are definitely Miyayish. Why are they definitely Miyayish? Because it's already been 12 months. They didn't expect anybody to pick them up already. So then Shmuel could have kept them. Nevertheless, he had returned them to his owner even after that 12-month period. That's what Fnim Mishruta did. That's the way Rashi explains it. Tosfos does not agree. Hein atzman hechzir. Apagatel yitzirach letein rak demehem. So it says, no. That Ein ochanami the din is with Metzia, we'll see later on, that a Metzia that eats food, that and costs you money to keep, then you do not have to return that object itself. You can sell them and then just give back the monetary means. So the Fnim Mishruta Din, according to Tosfos over here, is that Abu Shmuel returned the actual animals and didn't give him the money equivalent back, because he actually kept the animals and he took care of them for 12 months. So that was the Fnei Meshurat that did over here. The Fnei Meshurat is not that he waited after 12 months. He found his, it says that, Ebal Perish Rashi Shematzan, Achrag Yubin Chosh, Abdu Kashet. Says that makes no sense. Minolon. Right, where the Melon Shei, Bishvil Kach, alright, that, because of this, Lamot said, that the person who finds him should keep him. David and Mitiash, the Sever, Amot Zayis, Gorshim, Karob, Nevdu, Yachriz. Because when the guy bumps into them, how does he know they've been there for 12 months? He doesn't know they've been 12. When he finds them, he'll just assume they were found just recently, and he'll bring them back to him. So he says that he thinks Rashi's case is far-fetched. We did have a case similar to that by the Beit Abad, where he saw mold on the pitch, and we said, okay, it's clearly been there for a long time, you can keep it. So maybe Avraham Shmuel saw them wandering around for 12 months, and then he ended up taking them after the 12-month period. I don't know how you have to explain something like that for Rashi.
Here's Rashi from Brooklyn, where Rashi learns that from the idea of Shikha. Just like
that's the Mishpat quotes this Rashi from Brachot that talks about after 12 months of Shikha, and therefore the guy gives up hope. All right, now Rava Havazel Shakov Havazel Batrei the Rav Nachman. He's walking after Rav Nachman. Shuka de Galdai. Right, he was in the Shuk of the Galdai. Ratzanim. That's the leather. Right, the leather Shuk. Ramila b'Shuka de Rabbanan. Some say that it's in the Shuk of the Rabbanan, which I don't know what the Shuk de Rabbanan is. I don't know if that's where they shot or is that where they learned. I don't know the Shuk of the Rabbanan. So Amarle, Matzah Karanu Kimanu, what is the din if you find a wallet over here? So Amarle, Ariel Shalom, that belongs to you. Ba'isro Natan Basiman Mahu, what happens if Yisro comes to show up Siman? Amarle, Ariel Shalom. Right? It's, you keep it. It's done. You keep it. Ba'lo Omeid Mitzoveach, right? He says, he's standing there screaming, it's mine, it's mine, I'm giving you the Siman. Nasek Mitzoveach, Abeito Shnafal. It's like somebody screaming, his house fell down, he's saying, it's my house. Or is his boat that sunk in the ocean. I mean, it's over. It's done. What's done is done. It's spilled milk. You can't reverse the situation. It's gone. What's gone is gone. And you can scream it's yours, but it's not yours anymore. I mean, you can scream about your boat that sunk. You can scream about your house that fell down. There's no house there. There's no boat. There's no anarchy here anymore. Right, so now it's interesting because here Rav Nachman paskins this way. And Rav Yehuda was walking after Shmuel, Shmuel passing the other way. If you remember earlier in the Gemara, Rav Nachman's father was one of the sofrim in the Beis Din of Shmuel. And Rav Nachman, earlier quoted up, when I was 6 or 7, I remember being in the Beis Din of Shmuel with my, next to my father, and I heard this. So Rav Nachman, who had been in the Beis Din of Shmuel, now paskening against Shmuel, right, against Shmuel. They're both Dayanim, and Shmuel's Rav Nachman's a big Dayan. And Rav Daniel Meir, he passes it, you don't have to return it.
Or he's not really passing against Shmuel. He's passing.
Oh, so maybe that's the other case.
Rav Nachman's a Dayan, right?
Right, exactly. Very good. So either he may be Beikra Din, what's the Din? And Shmuel was telling you that if you need sure the Din, it's a good thing to return it, even though you're right. Ain't often time you own it. If you need sure the Din, you should return it. Now, Tosos over here is Mechadish something. Tosos over here says that if you need sure the Din only applies when it's mutter for you and asur for Achirim. Alright, that the only time that the Fnei Meshurat HaDin is applicable is when you are patur, for whatever reason is you're patur over here, but others are in other situations, you would be chayiv over here. The Gemara over here bring a pasuk that you have to go Lifnei Meshurat HaDin. I mean that Lifnei Meshurat HaDin, we have a pasuk for it, and the Gemara later on in Bab Metzia brings a pasuk to prove why there is with the din of Lifnei Meshurat HaDin. Here the Gemara just says Lifnei Meshurat HaDin, doesn't mention a pasuk. Says Mikom Makom Shum Lifnei Meshurat HaDin Baylei Adurei Kevin Sheinu Mitchaser Mona. Tosafot says there are actually two things that cause a Lifnei Meshurat HaDin. The first thing he says is that if you are patur and others are chayav in that instance, then you must, or you should return the item Lifnei Meshurat HaDin, and we have a pasuk min haTorah that you should act in this manner. The pasuk min haTorah that tells you act in this manner and you should act with Lifnei Meshurat HaDin. Why? Because that's what the Torah demands of you, to be better and to be good. So with better and good, it means that if someone else, right, would have been chayav, and you're patur for a technicality, give it back. Where's an example like that? We had the Gemara Baba Kama on Kufam and Bed with the money changer. If a money changer is on Def Kufam and out, the money changer is an expert, right? When he's an expert, he doesn't have to return it. Over there, we had a case where the Gemara brings down a case to the Amora who returned it anyway, even though he was an expert. Why? Because if someone else had seen the coin and given advice, he would have had to pay it. Now the Amora, even though he was patur, he gave it back to be Lifnei Meshurat HaDin. That's the Lifnei Meshurat HaDin that's based on a pasuk. Now, Tosafot says the second thing. Even when everybody's patur, like in our case over here, everybody's patur, like our case in the Gemara here, you still should do Lifnei Meshurat HaDin if it doesn't cause you a loss. If there is no loss to you, you should act Lifnei Meshurat HaDin. Whereas, in a case where there's a big loss, right, and everybody else is patur, in that instance, you will not have to give it back. So Tosafot brings actually three different categories of Lifnei Meshurat HaDin. And he says that there are different psukim, one pasuk that is min haTorah, one pasuk that is min divrei kapalah from the Navi, and one instance where there's no obligation of the if shir tadim, but if you want to be a good guy, you can give it back. All right, so that's Tosus brings. Now, Tosus over here doesn't just leaves it at that. Tosus in Baba Kama. If you remember, we learned this Tosus in Baba Kama, Kufa Min Aleph. He quotes this opinion, Rimi Orleans. That this is the opinion of the Rimi Orleans, and Tosus there disagrees. He says that he does not agree. He thinks the Pnim Mishur Tadin applies, even in an instance where other people are Patur. Pnim Mishur Tadin is a general category. It doesn't matter if everybody's Patur or not everybody's Patur. Right over there, he disagrees with the conclusion of this Tosus. The Baal Hacha Bishmaitin, our case of here, is the Drina Bata Treso Yakushata, Kuliamar Paturim. Everybody would have been Patur. The Kach Lo Mighty Kral Hafle. That's why I don't bring a puzzle. He has to return them because he didn't lose anything. It's an aveda. He found it. So he didn't lose any money. So if he gives it back, it's a good thing to do. Over there, where there's a hefsid gadol, over there, you don't have to lose that money to do lifnei mishur hadin. It's a nice thing to do. You want to do a nice thing. You want to do the right thing. Do it, but you're not obligated over there. Why are you not obligated? Because over there, you have a loss of money. There was a large loss of money. A large loss of money, we're not going to obligate you to do a lifnei mishur hadin. Again, the Baalei Tosfot in Baba Kama disagree with these Baalei Tosfot and say that even when everybody is patur, there's still a din of lifnei mishur hadin. All right, let's just finish up the Gemara and the Mishnah here. Heldayo, the shakel of Disra, the shuka. There was a bird that came in and swiped a piece of meat in the shuk. Veshadya v'tznaita de bebe mar miriam. They dropped it between the palm trees in the house of Bar Mimarion. Atal kemendu Abaye, he came before Abaye. Amalei zil shokul and afshech. Keep it. It says, Aruba Yisrael, they knew. The shuk was a place where Zerom Yisrael came at kosher meat over here. Zerom Yino, Allah forgive Shimon Lazar, Philip Barov Yisrael. Sound like Allah forgive Shimon Lazar. Even Barov Yisrael, you can keep it. Shiny diyo, because zuto shayam dami. Ah, the bird is dead. When a bird comes and swipes it, the owner or the person does not expect to get it back again because it's like zuto shayam. It's like being washed away in the river. Oh, wait a minute. Oh, this is Rav. We're talking about Rav. Rav says that basar, that you do not have your eye on all the time, is a sortita, because maybe you got swapped with an avela. How do you know this is the same meat, or this is kosher meat over here? It says, it's a case where he saw the bird. He basar the bird bringing the meat all the way from the shuk right to his house. He says it gets it dropped off, and therefore he can keep it. It's interesting the case now, because then it seems to be that he knows or has some sense of where it came from. Right, it's not that he doesn't know where it came from here. The guy's bringing it from the shuk. But nevertheless, there was the egg. That's a pretty interesting case. Alright. He's walking along between Tzipor and Dan. He said on the side of the road, he finds a deer that was shechted. Bitirulo. And they said, you can eat it. Rabbi Ami, Bitirulo, Mishum Mitziah. Wait, hey, we're Matriya because of Mashiach, Rabbi Shimon Lazar. That they let him keep it because of Mitzia. Mishum Shechita, he couldn't eat it. He was allowed to eat it. Like Rabbi Chananya, Ben Osher, Rabbi Yosi, Akhlidi. Why is that? The Tanya, Shari Abdullah, Diyah, Retanu Galaf. He lost his deer or his chickens. Allah Matzan Shkutin. He goes and he finds them shechted. Rabbi Yudah Oseh. Rabbi Yudah says it's a sur. Chananya, Ben Osher, Rabbi Yosi, Akhlidi, Matir. He says that it's mutar. So Amar Rabbi Nirin, Divya Rabbi Yudah, Shematzan, Bashpa. Beauty makes sense, right? That position makes sense when you find them in the garbage. If you find them in the garbage in the shech, it's probably because it was a bad shkita, right? It's probably in a veila. Dear Rabbi Chanan, you pronounce Rabbi Yosef, please, you must have a bite. Find them in the house. Then it makes sense that you'll keep them. So Gemara says, Umidehi tirulo mishum shkita. It's clear here, if they let him eat it because, and we say it was mutar because of shkita, ruba Yisrael, you know. We're definitely talking about a rov Yisrael, otherwise, how could you rely on the fact that the shkita came from a Jewish, or was a Jewish shkita? So Shvamina, Allah Rabbi Shimon Lazar, Philip Rabbi Yisrael. That's the case, then we're passing like Rabbi Shimon Lazar. We're saying like Rabbi Chananya, Benosh Rabbi Yosef, believe that he's allowed to eat it because it's good Shechita over here. And that must be in a case where it's Rabbi Yisrael. So Rabbi Yisrael, we're passing like Rabbi Shimon Lazar. Amaraba, Rabbi Kananim. No, it's a case of Rabbi Kananim, Rabbi Tabcha Yisrael. It's Rabbi Kananim, but the Jew, the butchers, the majority of the butchers were Jewish butchers or kosher butchers. So that's the, right, it's Rabbi Yisrael for Shechita, but Rabbi Kananim for the Mitzvah. Right, exactly. Ravami Ashkach Pargiot, so in case you didn't know, Pargiot, what a Pargiot that you order, you know, when you go to the wedding, right? Pargiot are young chicks, right? So over there, Pargiot Shkutot, Bent Ver Tzipori, Atul Kamed Ravasi, Ramila, Kamed Rav Yochanan, Ramila, Bey Medrusha, came before either one of the Ravasi, Rav Yochanan, or the base Medrush, Ramila, Zil Shabu and Avshech, you can keep it. Vizat Nafka, Ashkach, Kibora, the Azli, Bey, Esluye, he found this, kibora, which is some sort of pakiot shell. It's like a coil of string for nets and traps. You can keep it. All these cases, right, are cases where it's there's going to be yeush for sure, and because of that, we allow the individual to keep it. He just pointed out over here, it's interesting that the case is a case where Rav Ami found it, and he goes to Rav Asi to ask the question. They were still peers. And it's not that, okay, he was greater, but they were still at least peers. But Abayi Garcina, and there was another Kirsha, alternative Kirsha, in the Gemara of Rabbi Abba, he says, Kosha. Kasha, get the Rabbi Abba, tell me Dosha Rav Ami. Rav Ami would never go in front of Rabbi Abba. It makes sense that he went in front of Rav Asi, but not Rabbi Abba. Even though, again, that he should, I mean, even though he normally wouldn't have gone, Rav Asi was greater, that's, I mean, Rav Ami was greater, but nevertheless, he was a Talmud Chaver. Talmud Chaver, we wouldn't go in front of them. All right, let's stop with me now.